Welcome back, cave climbers and sea spelunkers, wave waders, ocean openers, to another swift entrance into this week's cavernous, dank hole of an episode of Dead Men Roll No Crits. This is your tour guide, Patrick, here, subjecting you to complete pitch black. And joining me in deep diving into the deep end are my four friends, your players, Jipper, Rebecca, Seth, and Tyler.
Yo,
you gonna pet that dog?
Hello, I am present.
Can I pet that dog?
Can I pet that dog?
No, can I pet that? Have you guys ever been in a cave before? You ever been?
Oh,
yeah.
Spelunking? Many times.
I went spelunking when I was visiting my sister at college. There was like a spelunking club, and I was like, she was just trying to find things to do. She's like, do you want to go into a cave? And I said yes, sort of not understanding what that would mean for my claustrophobia.
There are walk-in caves, and then there are, you know, make an acrobatics roll cave.
Yeah, this was a cave, and it was not for me.
I have only ever done walking caves.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've hiked into a cave, but. Yeah, I wouldn't call that spelunking. Does it count as spelunking if that's what
you do? No, it does not.
Okay.
One of my favorite things I've done in all my life was when I was a part of a search and rescue team for Mount St. Helens, there are tons of caves from the flow that came off of Mount St. Helens. And so as part of the search and rescue team every year, we would go out and try to GPS map caves, because oftentimes when people get lost, they just stumble, they find caves and they go into them because they know that that's better than being outside. And so we would try to GPS map all these cave entrances and exits. And so I would just get to wander around and find caves, and then I would just go into them for however long, you know, because sometimes some of them are really small, and I would, you know, we would try to notate how deep they are, where they exit, all that, you know, all that fun stuff. And sometimes I remember there was one where I just walked for half an hour in this cave, and I was like, I'm nowhere near anything, and I was just like, I'm turning around. This is ridiculous.
Oh boy!
Sometimes, like when I was walking in that cave, it was like I've seen nothing but blackness for so long. I'm concerned I'm gonna lose it. Like I'm already on this edge of madness. I have to return.
Real racist of you, Tyler. Yeah, I think the cave experience that got me really into fantasy, believe it or not, was in seventh grade. I was in rural North Carolina, and it was like a church mission trip weekend getaway where we stayed overnight in a cave. Ooh. And it was in the summertime, so it was like nice and cool. It was like 60 degrees in this cave, and it was this huge chamber. And at the time, I had picked up this little known fantasy book you may have heard about, that called The Hobbit, or There and Back Again, by James Randolph Rudy Tolkien.
Rudy Tootie.
And I had literally just gotten to the parts with Gollum, I think. When I was in the caverns, I was like, this is the most immersive reading experience of my life. I know what caves feel like, and I'm right there with Bilbo. But yeah, probably one of the reasons I fell in love with both reading and fantasy and nerd stuff like that, and probably not caves themselves, because I've not really been back in a cave since.
What other kind of immersive reading experience can you get? Like reading a Tom Clancy novel while you're a hostage in a terrorist situation?
Yeah, you could be stuck in a submersible and reading the novelization of Titanic.
Okay, there's also that.
We can go really simple. Someone can be giving you a hickey while you read Bram Stoker.
Honey, I need you in here quickly.
You just got to be good at multitasking. No. You can do almost anyone. Or have the book painted on your ceiling. That could help. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All number of books you can do like that.
You can jump in your fursuit and read Animorphs. There's a lot of these that we can really connect to, actually.
True.
Beginning to think this could be its own podcast.
Let's pretend that you guys are by the ocean in real life while your characters are on the southern side of the island bay, far off from the fortress where as the sun sets here, you see some smokestacks kind of billowing skyward in the darkening evening. The rocky coastline here is pitted with small skellies and some natural arches of stone. You've trekked across one, looking for one that resembles kind of a keyhole that you were told is the entrance to the sea cave. How would you guys like to go about searching this shoreline?
Do we not see the keyhole already, or?
No, you got it.
Okay.
You got the general area, but it will take you some time to suss it out, depending on how you choose.
I would like to look for the thrush.
Thrush?
Yeah, I was a hobbit joke.
Oh.
It didn't work.
It's been since seventh grade since I read that book, Tyler.
Are you? What? It's been that long?
I probably read it again in college.
Did you not even watch the movies, Patrick?
I knew
that was going to be controversial.
They're fine, it's like you expected more, you know.
I got Legolas. That's all I wanted.
I mean, I didn't really expect more when the book is one third the size of Lord of the Rings,
and they extended it to the same length. Yeah, it's so funny because it could have made pretty good two parter. I feel like with like. Most of the adventure
stuff.
I think
it was originally supposed to be a two-parter, and they made him make it into three parts, happened.
Most of the adventure stuff in part one ending with, you know, Smaug, and then, like, book two be all the War of the Five Armies, if that's what you want. Anyway, we can't talk. We've talked way too much about the Hobbit.
So, I'm so sorry.
How are you looking for the thrush in this situation? It's a keyhole arch.
Isn't a thrush a bird?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So have we docked our boat? Like, where are we right now? Are we in the boat? Are we walking on shore? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, you've taken the hat boat to shore here and maybe started climbing up some of the rocks. But you have a good amount, you know, maybe about a half mile of coastline to look through.
Should we split up?
Patrick.
I love
just,
it.
I just saw a holiday twinkle right. appear in his eye.
I mean, it'll make it go faster, for sure.
All right, let's...
Yeah, if we go from one side and the other side... Yeah.
Do we have a way to communicate with each other? I mean, like, one of us is going to find the entrance. We need to alert the others to meet us there. We don't have comm units in this game, so I don't know.
I've got message, which lasts for a bajillion years?
Oh. One bajillion years.
Oh, the range is only
not impressive.
100 feet. Yeah.
We could just, when somebody finds the entrance, we just go, whoop!
Do we all have, well, we probably shouldn't shoot like an arrow up in the sky. Well, maybe we can.
Get that rocket spell Candoso's got.
Get a light and arrow to send it up if that's what you want to do.
Okay, we can do that. That's fine.
Comb
the desert.
Do you guys want to make some perception checks for me?
Sure.
I would love to. Kovic's perception is, would consider legendary in terms of his bonus, not in terms of how I roll and how I play the game.
But he's pretty good, some might call it.
On paper.
When Kovic is by himself, he's legendary. When he's played by Tyler, he's fine.
Kovic's done the worst so far in this perception check, so.
I know.
Now that we're counting that kind of stuff.
Yes, if PCs, you know, had to pick their player in terms of difficulty level, I would be professional. I'd be hardcore. I would be give me God of War. That's what the equivalent would be.
Patrick, this is a 39 if it's site based.
You know that it is. You're looking for that keyhole, and yeah, maybe just the way the shadows have been thrown over these scaries in this eastern facing cove. It does take you a little bit of while, but splitting up into maybe a couple groups going different directions on the beach, you find it within about a half hour of looking. In this time in the bay, you hear some cannon fire and things like that as the Wormwood and the Tidebreaker take on what looks like a big old thrashing snake inside the waters here. But yeah, after a little bit of searching, indeed, you can meet back up, fire your arrow, and find here at low tide this large kind of chamber, like a gulf in the side of this cliff face. And climbing down inside here, looking in the cave, it is very dark. There's maybe just a dim illumination coming from the entrance, but it goes back far enough that this turns into darkness. But you see a chamber popping in from the watery kind of flooded bottom of the cave. You see what looks like a stash of treasure here, maybe chests filled with gold, all of it kind of shimmering and shining in your the small amount of light that is coming from whatever light sources you may have here, shining, perhaps even, you know, giving off lens flares, shining brighter than you would expect it to. It's almost too good to be true. Look at all this treasure.
It's an illusion.
Yeah, can I detect if it's like magical of some kind?
From afar, do you want to head right over to said treasure?
I will go over there, but first.
How about I detect magic from a distance, right?
Oh, that would be fine too. I was going to activate my cloak and be invisible.
That's also good. I have to get 30 feet away from it, but I'll do that.
Yeah. So getting within 30 feet and looking through your magic third eye to see if this be some kind of illusionary spell.
Oh, I'm third eye peeking.
You peeking at the third eye? Rebecca, do you also want to turn invisible?
Yeah, I will turn invisible. I also have arcane sense, which allows me to detect magic. I don't know what the range on that is, though.
It's probably the 30 feet. So it's probably the same spell, basically. Okay.
You're both doing the same thing.
Yeah. You get some sense of maybe magic items, some enchantments and whatnot in this pile, but it does...
magical!
It seems to be real.
This can wait for later, can't it?
Oh.
I mean, it's in, like, the direction that you're going, like, into the cave here.
Kovic's like, we haven't received a loot payout in a long time. This would be good.
Do we see anything that might be useful to us in this moment?
Are you moving forward to start kicking over chests and sorting?
I look for something useful and I see Alaris and I say, Alaris, go investigate that treasure.
Tyler, did you have something to say? It seemed like you were jumping in.
I just feel like it's booby-trapped.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It seems like it's out there.
Who wants to Scrooge McDuck first into the magic? We should mention this team.
I'm going to jump right in, but I do have thievery. Like, I wonder if there's some way, like, you know how Indiana Jones has the bag, that kind of thing? Like, is there something like that I can do to, like, try not to trip the wires, but also...
Indiana Jones does famously have a bag.
Yeah, a
man purse.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, who knows? Patrick, is there a pressure plate under this massive pile of gold that is calibrated to the exact weight of this treasure and gold?
Yeah, you have to replace 5 tons of treasure with the exact same amount.
I pour a little bit of sand out of my bag first.
Patrick's like, it's just a shipping scale, okay? They have to weigh it before they move it out, and I don't know.
Oh, good times. No, as you move on over to the treasure, it is not too good to be true. It's too true to be bad, because it is just a big old pile of treasure. You guys were complaining before the episode, and I was like, there's treasure.
I don't remember complaining.
I can fix
tons of complaints.
You guys would just play the game.
You're so poor. Your characters are poor. We're so poor.
No. I was just talking about me in real life.
Yeah, and your characters, but now only one of those. No, but as you move up to the treasure, what looks like a pool, a small pool, an eddy, if you will, of goop. A slurry of goop seems to form up on itself, kind of piling layers of clear slime. And you recognize this seems to have coated this entire chamber here in a thin layer of slime. The goop forms into a blob-like form that you see inside. There's some small stones and rocks unpitted against its reddish-green form. Let me take us to a map and show you what we're working with in the Cave of Wonders. Yeah. Look, it is a slimy guy.
Yeah.
That's a slimy guy.
Slimy, whimy.
You got that going for you. It seems to sense you with its lidless, eyeless form and begins glooping in your direction, in the direction of its nesting treasure hoard, perhaps.
Does it sense me since I'm invisible?
We'll have to wait and find out.
Okay. I don't think slime has eyes, Rebecca.
No slime eye. This guy's got one of my favorite words in all of TTRPGs.
This was a
pseudopod.
I thought you were going to say swallow a hole. You monster.
No, the slime cleaned all the treasure for you, so now it's nice and shiny. It's a shiny goop hole.
Natural sparkle.
Natural one on my initiative roll. Let me just
that makes sense. It's to the bottom.
Okay, and
it's a slime.
Where's our Bartleby? We've got the party here, Alaris, Honto, Kovic, and Bartleby.
Oh, sorry.
Dare you to roll lower than what I've gotten. I don't think it's possible, actually.
I'll do my best.
We shall see.
This is gonna be the only natural 20 Javert rolls today.
How good. Not a lot of attack rolls for Bartleby, so probably fine.
I don't know if he can roll two natural 20s on initiative two nights in a row.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've been doing that a lot of cosmic crits, so.
Ooh, good. All right.
That's a really good roll.
Yeah, you guys are going first here. Kovic up first as this creature forms up, and you see as it's, you know, kind of sliding over things in the kind of seabed where the ocean has fallen out from high tide. It is like absorbing these little sea creatures and kind of burning them as it slides over their form. What would COVID like to do, Tyler?
Move behind it.
What?
COVID is legendary in initiative
and in moving behind things.
Yeah, while I'm running up, and I'm gonna pull out a big old sword.
What?
An S-word?
I'm pretty sure you meant your crossbow, as Kovic is famous for.
Kovic is famous for it, but Kovic, as being a master hunter, master ranger, knows arrows and bolts are best when there are vital organs to hit with those. This thing has no vital organs.
Kovic is, after all, a master blaster.
I'm a master blaster.
Who runs Barter Town?
So instead, we're going to just go with the massive piece of metal and make a strong attack.
Look at it. It's like, I'm a hunter. Takes out a great sword.
And right now I'm hunting this.
Get it. Whoa, Jabert.
Oh, sorry.
Calm it down.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry.
I have to beat that. It's going to sound like it's something much worse, but.
Seth, we played Monster Hunter together. Bigger monster, bigger greatsword.
Yeah,
those
are the
rules.
That's true.
All right. Great. Make that attack, Kovic.
I got. Oh, natural one, baby.
All right. Literally the size of like a cow, this giant slime, and you managed to strike the rock right next to it.
Heck yeah.
Oh. A miss doesn't necessarily mean that you didn't hit the creature.
Well, in this situation, it does.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm the hardest.
Do you want to rewrite history here?
I mean, I rolled decent damage.
We talked about this last night, Seth. But no, we're rerolling damage from now on.
Oh,
no,
are you for real?
Yeah, I'm not joking about that.
I thought that was a joke.
No, there's none of this. Like, I did terrible on damage. That means it's not worth using a hero point for. I'm sick of that.
You're a monster.
Yeah, this is good for the listeners who want to hear these rerolls.
No,
happening.
It's not. But as a plan, we will talk about those. I'm not gonna reroll. I'll let it stand. That's all my actions.
Okay, Alaris, we're on to you. Alaris and Bartleby have both rolled a 39, so actually you guys get to pick who wants to go first.
Do you have a reference?
Jabert, Rebecca.
Let's see. How far away are we from this yon monster? It's up on... It's
like 30 feet.
You know what I'm going to do? If you'll let me go first, I'll do the big brain play. I'll move right here.
20 feet forward.
And then I'm going to cast Bless.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Okay. Yeah. Cast and Bless.
Everyone within 5 feet of me.
Oh.
So when somebody stands right here.
Oh, right now. Right on the opposite side of
Kovic. That was the big bang.
Actually, you know what? I'll do it right here. So if somebody also wants to stand. Right here.
Wow, lots of places to stand.
Oh, look at you guys using some strategery, some stratagems. Some
real strategery.
All right.
Yeah. Oh,
Captain Alaris on team. You, Rebecca.
Have you guys ever played Chronicles of Mystara, the Dungeons and Dragons beat 'em up by Capcom?
No.
It's pretty great. And you can choose different classes, and you have inventories, and the cleric and the wizard have spells.
Maybe they redid that recently.
They re-released. Well, not recently, but they did re-release it.
This century, they did. Right. I do like hack and slash games, so I think I played it a little bit maybe at a convention or something.
I only bring it up because the cleric has Bless, and when he casts it, it sounds like he goes, Bleg!
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 Alaris, you're moving into a flank situation, it looks like.
Yes, moving into flank with Kovic, and I am in the aura of Bless.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm going to, as I do so, quick draw my curved blade and strike at the weird ooze monster thing.
Weird ooze monster. Yeah.
43 to hit because of...
Oh, awesome. Hit.
All right, that does. Hold on. What would that be? 35?
Yes.
It looks like 28 slashing and 7 precision. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. That might be important.
We are talking, it's not taking all that damage for whatever reason. I'll let you guess. But yeah,
okay,
you stab
this. But with because I hit, I also have debilitating strike and I now have double debilitation. So I can apply 2 debilitations with this.
Do you need to apply precision damage or no? It just says against flat-footed creatures.
Debilitating strike, does it have like the precision type?
No.
Oh, well, there you go.
You strike a flat-footed creature and deal damage. So it did deal damage.
So,
and.
Okay. So with my 2 debilitations, let's see. I want to apply.
That's a good one.
Debilitating.
I'm confused. Hold on.
What debilitating
status
striker you looking at?
So I'm wondering if this, I don't know why my macro is built the way it is. It's been a really long time. Did I just build in my debilitation to my macro? Which is very possible because that would be the 2d6 precision damage, I guess.
Oh, well, it's not taking any additional precision damage if that's what you wanted to do. Confirm no extra precision damage.
Okay, that's fine, but it is also going to be enfeebled 1.
Okay. And here, third action. As you strike this thing, you slash into it, and you maybe cut a big old pseudopod forming off of one of its kind of main stalks here, main body masses. It takes that damage. It does take some of that damage.
Okay, I'll strike at it again. 42 to hit.
A hit!
Right, that does, well, I guess 25, not the 9 precision damage, but it does take 2 additional damage for forceful.
Okay, so 27.
That's circumstance.
Okay, is that all?
I take a lot of damage from my circumstances, honestly.
Is that all your actions?
Yes, that's all my actions.
Oakley.
Oh, and it's Hunt. Also taking 2 bleed from all of this.
Hunter.
May I bleed?
I think so. Bleeds acid.
Do I not bleed?
I have a question for you. Is do you bleed?
Do you?
Do you bleed?
You got to tell me legally as a GM if your character can bleed.
So Honto's going to move up.
You got to tell me if you're a cop and you got to tell me if you can bleed. Honto, moving right up into Bless Blurg territory.
The Bless Zone. But let's not enter a stance because... The one that he has, Wolf Stance, it does piercing damage, and I feel like that's not a smart move here. let's say 43 plus whatever Bless gives you. I actually don't know what Bless does in this edition.
Plus what?
Is it plus one?
Yes, it's plus one status bonus. Yes.
Look at this guy. Okay,
so plus 44.
A hit.
Or 19 bludgeoning.
Oh, look at you.
Well, hold on a sec. Because I wanted to do this as part of a... Oh, my goodness. I wanted to do this as a flurry.
You rolled the exact same thing.
Double. I rolled the exact same numbers, despite the fact that I'm taking a minus four to the second roll, so...
It's impressive.
That's creepy.
Not even angry, I'm impressed.
So that'd be 38 bludgeoning, actually, because it combines the total of those two attacks.
Okay. Yeah, so as soon as you punch into this thing, can you make me a reflex save? As you seem to rupture like a pustule, and it squirts acid back in your face.
Oh.
It's reaction.
You can believe it? Reflex is actually Honto's worst.
And it seems to work here because you're too busy following through with that second strike as you get blasted with 19 points of acid damage.
Oh, does it just do the same amount of damage I did?
It might deal the same amount of damage that it did, yeah.
Revenge.
Okay, well, I'm going to hit it again.
Makes sense.
37.
Hit!
23! Bludgeoning damage.
You've discovered my weakness, which is being hit by attacks and being dealt damage.
Goodness, so that's not a bad turn. Total of what? 61?
I mean, everybody together. Yeah, it's done a good amount of damage here, but it's my turn.
I know that you guys don't watch JoJo, but this just smacks of the scene in part 5 where Abakio joins the others in kicking this poor helpless guy on the street.
Okay. All right. Let me go ahead and roll a D. See who is going to attack first. Kovic, make me a reflex thing. This thing.
I thought that was a d20 roll for a second, and I was going to be so happy.
I rolled a 1 on a d6, yeah. This thing moves to engulf you. Just kind of raises up on its hackles here and move to jump on top of a Kovic.
A lot of swallowing recently.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. It's all Patrick has wanted to do for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, I like things with big bites.
We gotta put a vor content warning on these episodes.
What am I reflex save?
Does this get a reflex save? Engulf. Yeah, it says if you fail, it's save. Yeah, DC reflex. Go ahead, roll it.
Roll it.
Can't believe you didn't use your hero point last turn. That would've been great for when you. Yeah. Is reflex a good one for a ranger?
I think so.
Oh, almost assuredly.
I do have improved evasion.
Oh.
So my proficiency rank for reflex actually just went up to legendary.
Legend, wait for it. Dairy.
So is it good? Some might say it's my best.
Anyone that's like reading it, for example, might think it's very good. What'd 41. You get? Oh, that's a success. Not engulfed by the creature here as it goes to grab to just completely envelop you inside of it. It's so enraged that it is going to strike you with a pseudopod. Make a attack against Roop.
Which?
Kovic.
Should count as a second attack.
Engulf is not an attack.
Interesting.
Ugh.
Reflex save.
What is your armor class?
34. Oh, what? 34?
Oh, baby, no.
I've rolled a 14 on the dice here, so this is a critical hit, it looks like.
Yeah, someone has not increased the potency rune.
Mm-hmm. All the talk about the B team not getting the cash is suddenly coming to fruition.
Right.
Okay, this is 60 points of bludgeoning damage and 30 points of acid damage. Wham!
Oh my goodness, almost 100 damage in one go.
Sorry, minus 2 because it is enfeebled.
To the calculator.
Sorry.
60 plus 28.
Patrick, does it turn into a big, like, fist?
Yeah, like it's moving. It moved its entire body to one swallow Kopek, and then when it missed, it just kind of pummels the orc from behind. That is its full turn, though, which means we're back to your turn, Kopek. Takes a little bit of bleed damage here.
All right. I gotta check. Gotta check myself. All my normal ranger bonuses all revolve around precision damage, which we know now.
That's great.
Not effective. So, when we can't be precise, what can we do? That's right. Use power attack from the fighter dedication.
That's what I was gonna say.
This is the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, we're all thinking it. Thank you for saying that loud.
Yeah, two action power attack. 38.
Yeah. Oh,
I see some ones I wish I didn't see. 29 slashing.
Yeah, it is still up.
Still alive.
And then a Hail Mary third attack. Come on, Kovic. Natural one on the dice.
Yeah.
Why do a rock. I bother?
Well, you put some good damage on this first attack here. That is going to take us to Bartleby Findling's turn.
Does it look beated up, Patrick?
It's not. It's not even.
Guys, we haven't even beated it up yet.
It's not bet up.
Well,
not bet up at all.
You saw on the beach, amongst all the fighting, this beautiful shell, probably something exotic, something rare, and Kovic's wild natural one swing obliterates it into thousands of sparkly bits. So we have that.
Now we need to go around the world finding the shards.
Yep, I'm already creating our next adventure here.
Nice.
Yikes.
Called Serpent Cube X.
What you got, Bert?
Let's see. So I'm going to I'm going to move forward. I'm going to concentrate to expand my radius of bless to 10 feet. And then I'm going to do. I'm going to use the aid action to spend. Well, it's not exactly the aid action. I'm going to spend an action throwing rocks at this thing. this rock, I'm standing around on some rocks and I'm like, hey, you big green dummy, look at me, you big green dummy.
Why? So
I'm spending an action so I can use the aid reaction on my turn or on another person's turn.
You're gonna help somebody do something cool.
That's the idea.
Hilarious.
Jabert, like when you increase bless, is it just like an angelic choir that starts to slowly get louder?
It's more like when you go to like an EDM like rave and like it's like the bass starts going up and it's like it just like goes up in intensity.
Oh no, you're talking about how like the music is getting to the peak.
Yeah.
We just have this little gnome cleric going do 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 do
do do do do do do. Right, exactly. And it just keeps going up every round, like.
All right, Alaris is going to come to the other side of the monster to once again flank with Kovic and stand in the radiant aura of Bless. And strike with my curve blade.
Nice and dice. Hit.
All right. That does 31 slashing damage.
Great damage. That's gonna beat up this thing.
I like it. All right, I am going to strike again. It's a 25.
Oh, can you not?
Oh this my thing? Gosh! It is a miss. We've got a second miss of the night.
Oh no!
Oftentimes,
yeah,
oozes are not credible.
Because I saw what Alaris got.
Well, we've had some 40s.
I did the math. I did the math, and I was like, wait a second.
Makes it very easy.
I hit higher than 10 on that.
All I gotta do is figure out if you hit or miss. The math's super easy.
Well, isn't that just nice for you?
Okay, Onto, back to you, Seth.
All right, let's get all the goop out of this thing. It's kind of skewed on up here. And let's do 40 blows. Why not?
First flurry. Natural one. Now here's a situation where re-rolling is pretty good. You roll poor on damage, so this is like not bad for re-roll, right? And it kind of incentivizes you to do so.
I have a feeling I shouldn't.
Yeah, we just waste these hero points. They're not useful for
it. I don't know. I don't know what's coming. Like, if it's just this thing, I can't imagine this combat's going to last too long. So something else is going to happen. So
it's possible.
Let's go on to the second attack. Oh, that is another natural one.
Oh my god! Please reroll these, Seth. Your bad luck must be broken.
Oh no! I'm going to reroll this. Like, this is what this turn was supposed to do. So
could you imagine if you had rerolled the first one and got the second one? Yeah,
Tyler. I think the amount of times that I've rerolled.
Please let me use my splatter reaction by being hit by a blitz.
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, three misses. Ugh.
Yeah. So, no. I think you can't count the amount of times that I've rerolled a one to roll another one on one hand at this point.
Technically, you rolled two ones in a row. So if you had done the hero point time, then
exactly
that would have been. That would have been.
But I'm saying it's happened more than five times before this. So
that's not high variance at all. That's low variance.
Extremely low variance. It's
very low. Okay, well, that is your guys' turn. I'm back to swallowing people whole. Let's go. I can really get to everybody right now, so we're gonna make this a D4.
Not me.
It's Kovic.
Kovic, reflex save. Stop. You're just bullying at this point.
Well, you've got the good reflex. You should be happy that you're tanking for the team. But I hope you know if you succeed at this, you're getting punched again.
38.
38's a success.
Don't punch me. Don't punch me. Stop it.
Punch and Kovic. Pseudopod attack critical.
Stop it!
Stop the dice.
You're a bully.
Nobody else wants to get hit by this thing. This game,
you're
right?
Shoving me into lockers. You're so mean.
It's really low damage though, compared to last time. We are talking about roll 3d10 and 11.
For some reason, Kovic has a swirly now.
44 points of bludgeoning damage. Minus two, so 42 points of bludgeoning damage, 18 acid, just 18 acid. Tyler. When
I was literally just sitting here thinking, like, man, I wish we had a heal. Oh wait,
wait a minute.
Back to you, sir.
I'm beat up.
I'm feeling beat up.
Yay!
I'm gonna aid Kovic on this action here.
two action power attack.
Let's see.
Aid as a reaction. You can roll to a
skill check or an attack roll. I think I described throwing stuff. So.
Yeah, make an attack. DC 20.
Oh, so. Let's see.
You throw rocks and just kind of like absorbs them. like this doesn't affect rocks. Like don't get acid by it. This is a critical success.
Critical rock.
The aid. So a plus two to this triggering attack. Oh, the bonus is plus three if you're legendary. Is that right?
Plus three if you're master. Plus four if you're legendary.
I'm
like an expert. Like, plus I'm not good at it.
Two, Tyler.
Who gets to legendary with attacks? Because
fighters and gunslingers.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I figured.
Yeah.
I mean, I just need to not roll a one. Look at you.
It's a hit.
30 points of damage.
Okay. All right, slank. You've sliced through another big old pile of goop that just falls lifeless to the ground.
Hail Mary third. Can I use the aid on the third attack? That'd have been rad. Next time.
No.
Next time. 27.
That's a miss.
Does power attack count as attack two. One and two?
Yes.
Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of lame.
It's not nearly as cool as it was in the first edition.
It's very good if you can crit with that. Power attack.
It is great for fighters with the legendary proficiency.
Bartleby, we're back to you. Kovic's looking pretty beat up. He got bruises, acid burns, all that good stuff.
I'm going to extend my. Let's see. Wait a minute. No. I think I'm just going to move a little bit. Yeah, I'm just going to move a little bit to like maybe right there. So
move action.
Look at that. There's a little space right there.
And now you've got the snare going. Now it's like, duh, 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 duh. Like you think it's exactly. We're getting to that peak soon.
Somebody's flicking the light switch on and off at this point. I'm going to cast a two action heal on my good friend, Kovic. So we're going to do rolling the dice. Here they come.
One day.
Look out for these big green dice.
Ooh,
121 points of healing.
Oh, no. That's all the damage that I did.
No, it is not.
It's almost all the damage that I did.
It's a substantial one.
It's most.
Great roll for heals. Got two tens on these D10s. Not a single thing below four. So beating some odds there. But yeah, Kovic mostly healed up as we go to Alaris.
Right. I tossed him a can of spinach.
Have you guys heard of a shepherd's tongue?
A shepherd's system?
Tongue?
A shepherd's tone.
Tone.
It's an auditory illusion that can make it sound like a tone is constantly going down or constantly going up with no end.
Okay.
I'm wondering if you could do like the ultimate tease on a peak for like a techno song by doing an upward shepherd tone
just that, forever.
And then the song just ends. That'd be gross.
That's how you don't get invited back to the club.
Sorry, Rebecca.
All right. Per usual, Alaris is going to get into flanking position with Kovic. And
Why?
Also the aura of bless. And is going to strike. It's a 32 to hit.
Hit.
Actually, 33 with bless. That does 23 slashing damage.
All right. Still alive.
All right. Third action. Take another strike.
Ooh.
That's a 41.
Could have been a crit, but no crits. It is just a hit.
So 25? Sad. Yeah, 25. Well, 27.
Ooh, okay. All right. It is still up, but it's Honto before it gets another turn to try and swallow Kovic.
No, stop it!
I'm just guessing I'm going to roll randomly again and also roll to kill Kovic.
Yeah, we all know that DMs can fudge their dice rolls and roll.
But maybe it doesn't get there. Maybe Honto summons last turn. This thing was just juking and jiving. He hit some hardened parts of its pseudopods and it did no damage. But this turn, you've got its movements down. You know it's about to strike Kovic, so you're there where he's about to be engulfed again.
It's another turn where Kovic gets randomly selected to be inspected by the TSA. All right, let's start off with a flurry because it hasn't moved, so why not, right?
Yeah.
Ooh. 45
hit. You want to make me a reflex save, please? Well, also a hit.
Well, yeah, because this is one attack. So,
yeah.
Oh, this is one attack. Oh, that's not good.
It counts as a single attack, but I don't think you take. I mean, I think it has to react to an attack.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know how that would work.
But yeah, it takes bludgeoning damage from a creature. The effect. It ejects acid on the creature, dealing acid.
Okay, if the trigger is damage and not an attack. Yeah,
the trigger is it takes bludgeoning damage, so maybe you're right. And I'm the idiot not dealing tons of damage to you.
That's fine. You already hit me a couple times.
I think I failed. You did this once before.
46.
46. Reflex save for me.
That's a bad roll.
It is. It is not a critical fail. It is just a fail. So you're also okay taking 46, but it only had 44 hit points left. So you pummel this thing out of existence. It falls into a pool of slime and you're left dripping burnt from its splash attack. But
Honto is covered in goop and he's like kind of like trying to find dry parts on his hands to brush away from his eyes. It's like reaching for the towel, like where's the towel?
Gross. It's in my eyes.
Yeah, I can't imagine. It probably feels a lot like when you get shampoo in your eyes.
Oh, gosh. Isn't that the worst?
It's the worst.
It's where I keep my eyes real, real tight in the shower. Real tight. I had enough of that as a kid.
Tight, tight, Patrick.
No tears my behind, Johnson & Johnson. That shampoo was like the worst to get in your eyes somehow.
Isn't shutting your eyes really tight actually like a good way to get it in your eye?
I don't think so. Are you supposed to hold them loosely closed?
Well, no, because like if you close it like super tight, like I think that opens up like small. Like, I don't know. To me, it feels like if you clench your eyes super tight, it invites some water in somehow. I don't know why.
And water, as we know, same rules as vampires. You have to invite
it in. You have to invite it in.
I'm really all about vampires tonight.
What I'm talking about.
I'm a chemist. Yeah, water follows vampire rules. That's
true. Yeah, I knew it. I knew it. They called me crazy.
Literally everyone I've ever met has called me crazy. But
I have no close friends or acquaintances.
Yeah. Now watch as I go deep sea diving 1,000 meters below, but I just won't invite the water.
There we go.
Right. So we're out of combat.
Pencil dive straight down the very end of the strand.
Out of combat, you've defeated. This is a crawling slurry, is this monster. Just a big old acid mindless ooze.
Isn't it a drink at 7-Eleven?
Sounds delicious.
An acid slurpee? Yeah.
Crawling slurry. Indeed, it does deal some damage to metals and organics. And as you go over and look at these coins, it looks like most of them have been kind of filed down a bit. So maybe not worth as much by weight as the same amount of undamaged coins. All the, you know, faces and stamps on the outside have been melted somewhat. But a lot of treasure here inside chests, and that can be melted down. A small fortune, probably worth in the neighborhood of, let me check the table here, 8,200 gold pieces, which means a 2,000 and what, 50 gold for the four of ye?
Correct.
Look at you guys just racking up the cash. There's no reason not to write that down right now.
Hold on. What was the total?
8,200 gold?
Well, I know, but divided by four, I guess?
2,050.
2,050 gold?
2,050?
2,050. That's a two.
At the same time?
So now I have to do the math to add that to my existing total.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Patrick.
It wasn't fake treasure. You're welcome.
This is why everyone tunes in to actual play podcasts is inventory management.
Everyone does want to have a ton of gold in real life, Seth. So for some people, it's the best part of the episode.
Inventory management?
Yep. And being able to buy a whole bunch of stuff.
How many hot dogs can I buy with this?
If a hot dog is one silver, then 80,000, 82,000 hot dogs. That's a lot of hot dogs. That's a lot of hot dogs, folks.
I don't think there are a lot of people that are going to take that order, to be honest with you.
How many hot dogs do you think you'd have to eat per day to be like satiated?
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 3.5.
Like in real life?
I was going to say, I could do probably like a pack of hot dogs a day.
To feel satiated?
I wouldn't feel
good. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're talking about just to feel like I'm not hungry.
Seth, this is a lifetime supply of hot dog gold. It's 64 years of hot dogs then.
Day in, day out. For 3.5 hot dogs a day?
3.5 hot dogs per day, yes.
Okay.
The good news is because you're eating 3.5 hot dogs a day, you're not even going to make it close to 64 years.
it's a episode.
It's a lifetime supply.
Yeah,
because your life is going to be like 5 years long. Maybe
just regular hot dogs, like one or two. But I have a hot dog salad every once in a while. What's a hot dog salad? It's, you know,
could you
chop a hot dog and eat it? Oh,
no, I was imagining
could be worse than a perfection salad.
Biting into the husk of a hot dog, but the inside was just all romaine lettuce. Like that would be the greatest betrayal of all time for me. Oh, not kale.
I like romaine. Now, kale's a little tougher.
Honestly, I could see a romaine, like a big old long leaf, put the hot dog on there, and you do all the toppings up on top of it. I could see that.
That'd be fine. That would be fine.
A hot dog salad would just be a hot dog, but with coleslaw on top.
This is a hot dog with mayonnaise.
That might not be.
No, that's
terrible.
A coleslaw dog you've described, Rebecca.
Slaw dogs.
Slaw dogs.
What if a hot dog salad was just all the things that normally go into like a fully loaded hot dog, but just rearranged in a salad bowl? So you cut the bread
in a bowl.
No, you just cut up the bread, you sprinkle it in there, and then you dice up the.
Yeah.
I think that's what it would be. Yeah. Right. Just beans and cheese.
How are your characters doing? Do you need to rest up a bit? Do you want to make some heal checks? Or
yeah,
I didn't get hurt that bad.
Yeah, I would like a medicine, just one. Just
yeah, one. Let's see. I've got ward medic, so I can treat all my friends right now.
Ooh,
and I am legendary with medicine.
Did Alaris even get hit?
No.
Okay. No, he bullied. He literally.
I know, but he also he gooped. He gooped on Honto.
Oh, that's true. You did do the gooping.
I got some goop.
He gooped you, and he booped you.
Got gooped, yeah.
Let's see. So,
and you, Gwyneth.
The legendary roll here is like DC 40, and I'm not quite really. I'm not so confident in that one. That would take a 10 to do that one. So, but I will. Let me just make sure I got my. Just checking my. I forgot I had that too. Okay, boy, so one of the problems with like leveling up this character so quickly is that like I've got all these abilities that I've forgotten all about.
Yeah.
So, I don't feel like it would be that fast if you guys only had one set of characters, but yeah, with two of them, we're now leveling them at the same time. It's like bloop bloop bloop. we are going to be level 16 very shortly, and then 17.
Yeah, and when you, I will say this is about 15th level. It's about when you start having so many feats and so many abilities and so many class skills that you're just like, I don't always know what is applicable here. And because, especially in Pathfinder, many, many feats and many, many class abilities go up as you get to like 11th level, 9th level, things like that. And if you just forget to go back and see, is this one of those things? You lose it.
Do you guys remember that Honto has Primal Rampage?
What? Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, I just totally forgot about that too.
I do remember that now.
I'm gonna just go for a DC 30 medicine check on all my friends. Ooh, almost got a crit. Almost.
Can I aid and we'll get a crit?
You wanna aid?
Retroactive aid? Retroactive aid?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Heck yeah, I got this.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. All right. Yeah. So we're talking 40 now? Is that right? been a minute since I've done one of these.
I mean, that'd be plenty. That'd be
yeah.
Plenty.
Oh, sorry. So 48 plus 30. So
I really only need the plus 30 part.
Ah, well, you're getting you paid for the whole seat, but you're only going to use the edge. Yeah. Oh boy.
I wasn't ready for that.
It gets for the whole team, but you only need the edge.
It's a 42 to everybody who needs it. So,
I love it.
Super duper. All right.
Oh man, that's one of the things that I've taught my daughter to say.
And, oh really?
Yeah, like from Young Frankenstein. Like, yeah. When they're singing, putting on the Ritz.
Ritz. it's so good. I don't know where my daughter has picked this up, but her new thing to say to me is, all right, calm it down.
I feel like you do say that all the time.
It sounds all right, calm it down.
It's so, it's so getting put in your place by, you know, a 2.5-year-old.
So good.
It happens. All right. Are you guys' characters ready to continue on exploring, heading through the sea cave? Supposedly, this is going to link up with the fortress at some point.
Yeah. I don't think Honto wants to spend any more time healing because he thinks they've already maybe lost their opportunity or a chunk of it anyway. So
their opportunity to do what?
Get in while the fight is going on outside.
We shall see. So as you muster up, maybe divvy up the treasure like in your minds, not necessarily sort it all out.
One for you, one for me.
Indeed, you'll have to climb up a little bit through the sea cave here and through a long winding tunnel that seems to go through a lot of the cliff face of this isle, because you know that The fortress is a ways off down the coastline, and you are pretty sure that you are going the correct direction the entire time, kind of northwesterly, I guess, from the sea cave's entrance. And yeah, after about 10 or 15 minutes of spelunking, you do see a pinprick of light in the ceiling of the cavern. You're able to climb up the face of a cavern wall here to what looks like just a small landing that has about a 10-foot gap up into what looks like a chamber with stone finished walls. So it's above you, above the cavern. Maybe this room, perhaps in the fortress, has a hole, just a big old hole down into the cavern below. You don't see anything in the way of like stairs or ladders. Just a big old gaping hole. What would you guys like to do?
Why would someone have a hole in the floor of their fancy stone covered chamber?
To kick them into.
Yeah, I mean, that's my first thought is like,
Did we see bodies at any point on the way up?
No.
Okay.
But not only that, why would you send like prisoners down to a tunnel that leads to your treasure hoard?
Maybe, I mean, so we're at the bottom of the pit, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about Barnabas Hare again. He's kind of dumb.
Well.
Sorry, maybe this isn't a mystery to solve. I just am trying to understand the logic of.
I get it. I totally get the conundrum. Hatch?
Yeah. Maybe an escape hatch?
Yeah, you're pretty sure that this sea cavern was like a, you know, this is a walled fortress up on a cliffside here, so. Outside of the main entrance, you know, there's just sheer cliffs on either side. So this would be if the castle was being besieged, perhaps another means of egress.
Maybe it's just efficiency. You throw someone down here, the acid slime eats away the body, so you don't have any disposal. And then you just send some nobody down there like, hey, go throw the whatever it didn't eat, go throw in the pile.
the slime was pretty far away, so I don't know if it's comes. At least you don't see many acid marks, perhaps, of nearby.
All right, wizard, keep your secrets.
Well, can we climb up into the room?
Yeah, you guys just want to hook yourselves up there.
I will go. I mean, can I once again activate my cloak and go invisible and sneak ahead and see if there's any sign of people? Can I hear anybody?
Is that what you guys want to do? Let Captain Laris handle this herself?
Unless somebody else wants to.
Sneaky wise.
Do you have invisibility, Laris?
Well, I have a cloak that gives me invisibility for 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. So I've got the spell as well, so I can... If you want to use that now, then I can.
Well, I mean, I already used it once today. I think I get it twice a day.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. If you want to use my spell, I get that once a day.
Yeah, that'd be
invisibility on you.
Yeah. Hey. All right. Invising up, climbing up here. What is your stealth? Bonus.
26.
It's pretty good.
Also worth mentioning, I have swift sneak, so I can sneak at full speed.
A sneaking as you climb up out of the hole here, you see you're in a small chamber that is kind of walled off. There's like a railing in place separating this room, which is just like, it looks like the floor almost of the fortress was kind of dug out. So behind this railing is what looks like a long hall. You see it is lined with very complex dark tapestries that depict crowds of faceless people kind of going about their daily tasks in an unrecognizable but massive sprawling city. In the back of this hallway, you see what looks like hammocks suspended from hooks driven into the ceiling near this kind of northern alcove. There's chambers that head to the east and west from here. And as you're listening in the candlelight of this hall, you hear maybe some murmuring voices off to the west. This hall seems to open up to the north, though, and what looks like an upraised pulpit with a circular black altar stone in its center, almost like a pulpit. And as you are sneaking up the hole here, but you see a robed figure with a pretty familiar looking mask, a featureless mask with a single eye hole. A easily recognizable Norgor Barite kind of shuffles from the western hallway and looks around the room that you are in.
It's Norgor Barite.
Who is Norgor Barite again?
Is a god of secrecy and I think murder. That was
Zeus's third child, I think.
the lesser known demigod, Norgor Barite. Ooh.
Wait, so this is a god?
Norgor Barite? Yes.
No, this is a follower of the god.
That would suck.
I'm so confused.
That would suck. Could you imagine just peeking your head around the corner and being like, oh, that is literally god. The god of secrets and information?
I've been led to believe that they are physical things in this world. They can be.
Yeah.
Okay. What is it, girl? What is the problem? You hear as there's some shuffling on the hallway to the west. Perhaps the sound of like stone hitting stone as a creature emergeth from the western alcove. It looks like a giant crustacean of some sort. Very large creature seems to be feeling in the air in your direction. And lets out a screech right at you, Alaris.
God, it's Alyssa Milano.
The story of your guys' entrance into Fort Harrigan, that's a tale for another time here. Captain Alaris has bit off more than you can chew.
I sure hope my friends are right behind me.
What'd you say, Tyler?
Is that really? Did he name the fort after himself?
There's not really a name.
Okay, good.
I double check. What's the map say? It's called Harrigan's Fortress on the map.
Yeah.
I've shortened it.
I'm so glad folks strained their brain to name this particular locale.
Well, I bet it was called something different because like he took over this island, right?
I think he's built it up. I think this is
really
this is his. Yeah.
Yeah, he did this.
Yeah, he's got so much treasure. He's just throwing it in sea caves.
Yeah.
That is gonna do it for this week's adventure. We will get back to it. Do you guys want to play these characters next week or do you want to move back? You want to bounce back?
I need to know more about this giant crustacean.
What a cliffhanger.
Is it shiny? Is the crustacean shiny?
No, Alaris.
But I can tell you his name is Mr. Clax. It's pretty much the best character in this entire book.
If anything Quack. Happens to him, I will kill all of you and then myself.
I'll figure out the art next week and we'll get back to these characters then. Mr. Bartleby, Honto, Kovic, and Captain Alaris. That's going to do it, guys. Thank you for playing with me.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Listeners, thanks for listening. From Freebie Captains to Patreon Pirates. That's going to do it for this week. We'll catch you on the next episode of Dead Men Roll No Crits.
Yar.
Man, guys, isn't it great that Patrick didn't crit any of us this night?